This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's headlines. And the Obama administration today asking a federal appeals court to immediately suspend a federal judge's ruling that overturned the military's don't ask, don't tell policy that bans the service of open homosexuals in the military. The administration says it wants the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco to take action today. The federal government is preparing arguments for the appeals court on why the ruling should be suspended while the case is still being appealed. The administration does say, of course, that it's in favor of repealing the law. However, the government says that letting the ruling of Judge Virginia Phillips go forward immediately would be a major problem for the military. According to the plea from the administration, quote, effectively developing proper training and guidance with respect to a change in policy will take time and effort. The district court's injunction does not permit sufficient time for such training to occur, especially for commanders and service members serving in active combat. Meanwhile, the Pentagon has already said that it will allow open homosexuals to begin enlisting. In a memo from Clifford Stanley, who is the Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness, he says that gay recruits can begin the process of enlisting, but should be prepared for the possibility that the administration could win this on appeal, and then them serving openly in the military would not be legal. Plenty of military brass are already opposed to lifting the policy in any event. U.S. Marine Corps Commandant General James Conway says that most Marines are strongly opposed to changing the policy, as well as former administration officials, including Van Hipp, who served as the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Army for Reserve Forces and Mobilization in the administration of the first President Bush. I spoke with him earlier today, and he says that even the Obama administration understands that changing this policy on the fly right now is a really bad idea.
Obama, who campaigned on doing exactly what this judge did with her order, Obama, his administration, his Justice Department, his White House are even saying that the judge's order would be disruptive to troops serving during a time of war, and that the military needs time to prepare new regulations and train and educate service members about the change. The Obama administration is even saying that.
Hipp says this process has gotten way too political, and he fears that those pushing forward with the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell have lost sight of what the military exists to do.
The purpose of the military is to win wars and to protect our national security interests. It's not a place for social experiments, okay? And that's what I'm concerned that the ACLU crowd is doing, is trying to turn our military into some big, giant social experiment. The purpose of the military, again, is to win wars and protect and promote our national security interests. And when you've got people in foxholes, you've got people in close barrack-type situations, they don't need to fool with this.
To hear my complete interview with Van Hipp, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. Midterm elections, of course, just 13 days away now, and many tight races, whether it's governors, a Senate, or House races around the country. Here's just a smattering of the latest key poll numbers. First of all, here are the latest numbers from Rasmussen on a number of key Senate races. It has a Missouri Republican Congressman Roy Blunt ahead of his Democratic opponent Robin Carnahan, 52% to 43. Rasmussen also has a now widening lead for Republican John Racey in West Virginia over Governor Joe Manchin, 50% to 43%. Rasmussen also has Republican Mark Kirk up over Alexei Janulius in Illinois, 44% to 40. In the Florida governor's race, Rasmussen has Republican Rick Scott up 6 points, 50 to 44% against Democrat Alex Sink. Some other firms are also taking a look at the key Senate races, including PPP, which has Kirk over Janulius in Illinois by just 2 percentage points. Another poll in Pennsylvania shows a potential major shift in that race. Republican Pat Toomey had been ahead by as many as 10 points in recent days. Now, according to Morning Call Tracking, Democrat Joe Sestak leads Toomey 44% to 41%. A PPP survey also had Sestak up 1 point on Tuesday. However, many Republicans said the sampling in that poll was skewed heavily towards Democrats. A couple of Survey USA polls out in California. One shows Jerry Brown, the Democrat, ahead of Meg Whitman in the California governor's race by 7%. That's a lead, obviously, for the Democrat. Another lead in the Senate race for the Democrats, Barbara Boxer. This one just 2 points, though, over Republican Carly Fiorina. A new McClatchy survey in Washington State shows that one couldn't be much closer either, with Democrat Patty Murray ahead of Republican challenger Dino Rossi, 48% to 47%. If you've been at dateline.radioamerica.org or worldnetdaily.com in recent days and weeks, you've noticed that we've had a series of conversations with a number of Republican challengers hoping to unseat Democrats in what appears to be a relatively good year shaping up for Republicans to not only make gains, but potentially take back the House of Representatives as well. Today, I spoke with David Harmer, who is the Republican nominee for Congress in California's 11th Congressional District, taking on two-term Democrat Jerry McNerney. Mr. Harmer says the top priority needs to be cutting spending, and it goes much beyond balancing the books.
Well, you know, you can only have one top priority, and mine is getting control of federal spending. That is a prerequisite to everything else we need to do. It's not just a matter of economics. It's a matter of freedom. And so, like a lot of the aggressive young Republican challengers around the country, I am determined to do everything possible to get control of federal spending fast. That has a lot of legislative implications, but I predict you'll see the first big fight over a proposal to increase the debt ceiling.
Harmer also says that freedom really is the issue here, and he wants to make sure that he did everything he could to preserve freedom for his children. He says, according to a new Heritage Foundation survey, the U.S. is less free than it has been in recent years, with countries such as Canada, Australia, and New Zealand now being ranked as more free in how its economy is run. He also quoted John Adams and Ronald Reagan in talking about the need to fight for freedom.
What is happening in Washington isn't just a financial threat. It's a threat to the freedom of our children and grandchildren, generations yet unborn. John Adams, our second president, said there are two ways to enslave a nation. One is by arms. The other is by debt. Our current political class has chosen the latter. Our children, by the time they're old enough to vote, will have a terrible weight of debt around their necks. It is wrong. It is immoral. It is the antithesis of the American dream. President Reagan told us that liberty cannot be bequeathed or inherited. Every generation needs to fight to earn it anew. Well, it's our time.
And in one final story, it may seem like it's 1991 all over again. That's because a new flap has arisen over the Clarence Thomas Anita Hill story. It all stems from a phone call and a phone message left with Anita Hill by Thomas's wife, Virginia, in recent days. A phone message that Hill, who is now a professor at Brandeis University, forwarded to campus police, who then brought in the FBI. So what did Mrs. Thomas say that got law enforcement involved? Well, here's a transcript of what the voicemail said. Quote, "Good morning, Anita Hill. It's Ginny Thomas. I wanted to reach across the airwaves and the years and ask you to consider something. I would love you to consider an apology sometime and some full explanation of why you did what you did with my husband. So give it some thought and certainly pray about this and come to understand why you did what you did. Okay? Have a good day." Meanwhile, Anita Hill, who refuses to speak to television cameras, says in a statement, quote, "I certainly thought the call was inappropriate. I have no intention of apologizing because I testified truthfully about my experience and stand by that testimony." If you don't remember 1991, Clarence Thomas was cruising towards confirmation when Ms. Hill testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee that she had been sexually harassed on multiple occasions by Thomas when he was head of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.